He built highways to tie the empire together so that they could communicate easily with the outlying provinces. And he established a system of government chronicles to keep accurate records. And he also, in addition to all of these projects that are essentially Confucian projects, he went on a building campaign to promote the worship of the Buddha. Most of his reforms grew out of Confucian values. These were values that the Chinese themselves always seemed to rediscover whenever a new dynasty tried to draw China together into a unified empire. But Shotoku was also a convinced and devout Buddhist, and he felt that Buddhism could be used to unify the nation and promote the welfare of the Japanese people. Shotoku expressed his new values in a manifesto called the 17 Article Constitution. I'll read just short pieces from the first two articles to give you a sense of the way he expressed himself and promoted a new vision of Japanese political life. The first article shows the influence of Confucianism. Harmony is to be valued, and avoidance of wanton opposition is to be honored. All men are influenced by partisanship, and there are few who are intelligent. Hence, there are some who disobey their lords and fathers or who maintain feuds with the neighboring villages. But when those above are harmonious and those below are friendly, and there is concord in the discussion of business, right views of things spontaneously gain acceptance, then what is there which cannot be accomplished? You know, if you come to this for the first time, it almost seems like a list of platitudes. You sort of say, oh, ho-hum, that sounds like pretty basic stuff. I can sign on to that. But what you have to see here is that behind this lies the whole weight of the Confucian organization of political life and also the Confucian vision of a harmonious, structured, and hierarchical society. So with these words, he was importing something much larger than the mere sense of a harmonious society and a sense of respect for your neighbor. The second article shows his concern for Buddhism. Sincerely reverence the three treasures. These three treasures, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, are the final refuge of the four generated beings and are the supreme objects of faith in all countries, or at least in all countries that were important to Prince Shotoku at that period. Few men are utterly bad, he says. They may be taught to follow it, but if they do not betake to the three treasures, wherewithal shall their crookedness be made straight? A nice image of the Buddhist path. You can hear, of course, in these words, the echoes of Ashoka, the great Dharma Raja, the righteous king who protects and defends the Dharma and also uses the Dharma as imperial policy. Now, this policy of supporting and taking legitimacy from the Buddhist tradition really flourished in the next period of Japanese history that's called the Nara period. It extended from the year 710 to 784, and it's named after the city that served as its capital, the city of Nara. It's a great place to visit, actually, if you go and explore Japanese Buddhism today. Less than a century after the death of Shotoku, Buddhism effectively became a state religion, as it was established in Nara. The Emperor Shomu, who reigned from 724 to 749, sponsored a series of building projects that gave special prominence to Buddhism as an instrument of national policy. He built a temple called Todaiji, the Great Eastern Temple, that was a symbol for him of the relationship between Buddhism and the Japanese state. This temple you can still visit, and it's said to be the largest wooden building in the world. It's a pretty impressive place, actually, and one that's well worth marking down on the list of tourist sites to stop in when you're next zipping through Japan. This temple houses a colossal bronze statue of the Buddha known as Dainichi in Japan, or the Great Illumination. This is the Japanese version of Vairochana, the old Indian Buddha of illumination, the Buddha of the sun. And you can see why the Japanese would find a natural connection between this Buddha from the Indian pantheon and their own indigenous religious interests. According to tradition, the emperor sent messengers, when he was planning to build this shrine, out to the shrine of Amaterasu in Ise to seek her permission to erect the statue of Vairochana. And the message that came back said that the sun Buddha was the Buddhist counterpart of the sun goddess. And this is the beginning of this attempt to map Buddhism onto the indigenous religious beliefs of Japan.